Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
There is something about the blood. There's something about the blood that makes it so important when it comes to ratification of covenants. Thank you, choir. There is something about the blood that makes it so important when it comes to the ratification of covenants. The strongest covenants all over the world, every time people enter into a covenant and they want to seal the covenant, rectify the covenant in the strongest way that can be most trusted, they use the token of the blood. I began to wonder and I wanted to know why. Why blood? Why? In the ancient African tribes, whenever two people get into a covenant, sometimes a weaker person and a stronger person, but there is something that the stronger person benefits from the weaker person, or the weaker person is benefiting something from the stronger person, they get into a covenant. And when they get into that covenant, they will have the promises attached to that covenant. In other words, I promise, this one says, I promise to do this. Then they have responsibilities. These are your own responsibilities. These are my own responsibilities. Then they will have a token. They will have a token with which they will ratify the covenant. We want to give this covenant strength. We do not want it to be something ordinary that anybody can break at any time. We want it to be something strong. So usually they will look for a token. I realize that the most potent covenants in the Bible are usually ratified by blood. So I really wanted to know. And one of the first things that came to my spirit while I was studying in the book of Genesis, when God was doing a covenant with Noah. I'll share with you five covenants today. We'll talk about the blood. Then we're going to take the communion so that you can understand what we're doing. Are we here together, church? He reminded Noah, somewhere we're going to read it soon, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. In other words, blood carries life. Blood is not ordinary. Sir, if your body is open now, no matter how effective every other organ of your body is, your liver can be 100%, your lungs 100%, your kidney, your heart, everything. As soon as they push your body open, maybe there is a cut somewhere, and blood begins to leave, life begins to leave you. There's no way, there's no arguments to that. As soon as the body is emptied of blood, life is gone. So God said to them that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So why is it that blood will be used for a covenant? Because two people are entering into an agreement. They need a third witness. And that witness must be one that has the ability to speak. So that the day you go against the covenant, that witness will speak against you. Then as I was studying the word of God, I saw the Bible says that the blood of Abel speaks. In other words, blood has life. And though, he said, though Abel was dead, yet his blood was speaking. I ask myself, if the blood of Abel can speak, how much more the blood of Jesus? And the Bible says in the book of Hebrew that the blood of Jesus actually speaks better things. Better things than the blood of Abel. A covenant is usually an agreement between two parties, usually involving rights, privileges, responsibilities, promises, and a token to seal the covenant. And most of the covenants in the Bible are sealed with the blood, the token of the blood. God is a God of covenants. Child of God, listen to me. God is a God of covenants. And the simplest and the easiest example of covenant today is, covenant is not exactly a contract. You must understand, people have contractual dealings. People usually will say contracts. Maybe, But covenant is usually deeper than a contract. And the closest that we can use for illustration is the covenant between a man and a woman in marriage. And that is why marriage is not a contract, it is a covenant. Why is it a covenant? It is a covenant because both parties will appear and they will give the token of their love. This one will speak and make promises. This one will speak and make promises. And both of them will agree to keep those promises. Child of God, if people remember the covenants and the promises they made on their wedding, they will never joke with their marriage. We forget easily. Human beings forget easily. If people understand what it means to make those covenants and in reality decide to stand by it, before you get married, you will take your time to think. Listen to the things that they usually will tell you to confess. People confess and they're laughing. And that's why sometimes when things begin to go in a funny manner, it is the report card of your inconsistencies with your confession. Words are spirit and they are life. So you see two people stand. A lady stands on this side, a guy stands on this side, and they begin to utter words. And this one says, I will never leave you. I will stay with you. No matter what happens, I will ensure that you are the person I will be with all the days of my life. Till death do us part. This other one stands on this side and it says exactly the same thing. And it says, till death do us part. In those times, maybe not before a priest or whatever, sometimes some of them stand before temples, all the shrines and other things, and sometimes they will tell them, you bring your own blood and bring your own blood. And sometimes some people, even in the absence of any altar or any shrine, two people standing together make those confirmation declarations and bring out their life, mingling together. All of a sudden, as soon as that is happening, sir, every time a covenant is being rectified, every time a covenant is being set up like that, a spirit always comes to supervise it. Always remember that. Anytime two people stand together and they're about to, a spirit will stand and say, I will be the seal upon your covenant. I will be the one to remind you, spirits don't die, so they will be there. I'll be the one to remind you of this thing so that the day you go against it, I will come after you. The day you go against it, I will come after you. And that's why when they make those covenants, whatever spirit that they believe in, whatever spirit they trust, will come in and stand between both of them. And the day one person begins to go against the covenant, war begins. Battle begins. The person begins to experience all manner of all terrible things. Why? Because you're going against a covenant. Covenants are powerful. And God is the God of covenants. Number one thing you must know, you can write these three things down. God is a God. God is a covenant making God. God is a covenant keeping God. And God is a covenant fulfilling God. He's a covenant making God. He makes covenants. He's a covenant keeping God. He keeps his covenants. And he's a covenant fulfilling God. No matter how long, he will fulfill the covenant. So let's talk about covenants. There are different covenants in the Bible, but five striking covenants in the Bible. Number one is the Noahic covenant. The covenant that God entered with the man Noah. God had a covenant with Noah. Genesis chapter 28 verse 22. Let's read together. We're going to read Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. I think we should start from Genesis chapter 9. Okay, 8. Let's do 8. 8 verse 22. Then we'll read from verse 9 down. 8 verse 22. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold time and winter, summer and day night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Now, you know what you do for me? Go to chapter 8, 5 verses backwards from that place where we're there. Just look at 5 verses backwards and let's see what Noah did. So Noah went out and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creep on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal of every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. Now, this is after God had delivered Noah from the flood. Noah and his family saved. They had escaped. God did not ask Noah for a sacrifice. But Noah had initiative. God did not demand to say, Noah, you have to do this. God did not say, no, as you are going into the ark, remember to take animals for the sacrifice. But because Noah was trained by a generation that understood sacrifice. Remember Cain and Abel, sacrifice. Are we here together? And he came from that place. So their generation of people who understood the power of sacrifice. And they knew that God was always interested in blood sacrifices. So when Noah came out of the ark, the first thing he did was to go out to get the clean birds, offered burnt offering on the altar. Then go ahead now, see what the Bible says. He says, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. In other words, what God said to Adam, cursed be the ground for your sake. Is that not? Some people are still living under there and say, that is why I'm suffering. You better see, open your eyes and see. Noah made a reset, so you're not permitted to suffer. God entered a fresh covenant with Noah just a few chapters after. And he said, that thing I said before, I reverse it. Why? Because of a man who understood the power of standing before an altar and making a sacrifice before God. The Lord said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy the living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold, winter and summer, day and night shall not do what? Cease. Go ahead now. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. The same thing he said to Adam. Adam fell. Noah came now and did a sacrifice unto God. And God said, everything Adam, the way it has gone, I will reset it. And God started resetting it already, even before the coming of Jesus. He said, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you be on every beast of the field, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea, they are given to your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Go ahead. Surely, for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckon. From the hand of every beast, I will require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of a man. That means whoever kills a man, I will demand that life. That is why people are not permitted to kill themselves. When you say, commit suicide, what will happen to me? That's what God, you don't have rights to take your life. Because you didn't give it yourself. You don't have a right. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood will be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Go ahead, we're going to 17. As for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly on the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with them saying, as for me, behold, I establish what? With and your after. And with every living creature that is with you. The birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Please listen now, flow now. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the water of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Sir, no matter how much it is raining, I am rest assured because of this covenant. If the rain likes, let it fall for 40 days. It will never wipe up the earth. No matter, there's no rain again in this world that can wipe up the earth and wipe up the people. Why? The covenant. And you will see it. God gave them a token. All of us know this. But I want you to see it so that you don't just see it and you just think it is ordinary. Every time you see the rainbow, what does it remind you? Covenant keeping God. Every time you see the rainbow, what does it remind you? Covenant keeping God. And the rainbow does not show until after there is a season of protracted rainfall. After that, to remind you that I am still here. So how would science explain to us that there is no God when God from Genesis already showed us a token from the beginning? From Genesis, he already has shown us that anytime you see this thing, I am the one. Everywhere, anytime you see, just know that I am the one. Are we here together, church? He said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between you, me and you, and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. In other words, God's covenants, they are always everlasting. Anytime God makes a covenant, it will last forever. It will last forever. Listen. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for you the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of the flesh, of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood, so much so that it will destroy all flesh. It will never happen. Why? My covenant. Have you read in scripture? It said, my covenant will I not break, neither will I utter that which has gone out of my mouth. I'm starting this so that when we get to the covenant of the blood, you will know where we are. So that you can put your faith and your trust in the blood of Jesus so much that you know that just one drop of the blood of Jesus can finish all the demons in the whole universe. Just one. If you understand the potency of the blood. How powerful it is. He says, never again. Verse 17 now. I think that's what I'm going to 17, the last one. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh. That is on where? On the earth. So the sign of the covenant God made in the Noahic covenant is what? The rainbow is the sign. God used animal skin. God used animal. Now, if you look at that, what happened to Noah? Noah offered an animal. Because of the blood of that animal, God smelled something. Remember blood. Remember blood again. God saw the blood of the animal. He smelled an aroma that touched his heart. And he said, I will enter a covenant. In other words, the blood is already given. Let's enact a covenant. Noah, from today, go out with your children and tell them that I have vowed that in all generations, there will not be a time in history where the whole earth will be so flooded that they will say that God flooded the whole world and killed everybody again. He said, though the imagination of heart of men be evil, though man goes so wild and everything, no matter what, I will not. Will the earth still be destroyed? Yes. But what will destroy the earth now? Fire. Go and read the book of Peter. The Bible says the whole world will still be destroyed. But God said, because I entered the covenant, it will never be water. He said, it is water, never. So when the earth will be destroyed again at the end of all things, God will not use water. He will use what? Fire. To show them that that covenant, I kept it to the latter. I will destroy this earth. It's not now. So no matter how bad you see the rain going, know that I will not do anything. But I will not. Human beings will still be alive. Animals will still be alive. When the time comes for me to destroy the earth, it will not be water. It will be fire. Why? Because of the covenant. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Making any sense to you? Number two is the Abrahamic covenant. One day God came and he entered into a covenant with a man called Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Let's read from verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your father and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name what? Great. And you shall be what? A blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Take note. In you, that means in Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God has started a discussion that eventually led into a covenant. I told you that every covenant that God makes lasts for what? Forever. Watch it. Genesis chapter 15. Let's make progress. Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1. Long readings today, church. But you need to learn. You need to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn things and get understanding. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great what? Reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? In other words, Abraham was reminding God that the person that seemed to be heir, the person that seemed to be the one who would take charge of every single thing I have, is not my own son. Is Eliezer of Damascus. What will you give to me? Go ahead, let's move. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. This one shall not be your heir. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord. And he accounted it to him for what? Righteousness. In other words, justification by faith. Abraham started a journey with God. Listen now. Abraham started a journey with God where in the season where there was no law, before the dispensation of the law, a man had a relationship with God. So much so that despite the fact he did not have all the tokens of the covenant and everything yet, he believed what God had said. The same way we believe Jesus Christ today and accept him as our Lord and Savior. The Bible says Abraham believed in God. And the faith of Abraham was recorded in heaven as righteousness. The same way today I will believe Jesus and to be recorded as what? Righteousness. So the first man to test righteousness by faith is not those after the coming of Christ. No, it was Abraham. And that's why Abraham qualifies to be the father of what? Faith. And that's why at the end of the day when we go through, you see that Abraham, God says, now that you guys are born again, you are now Abraham's seed. And you are now heirs. Remember what Abraham was discussing here? Heir. Who will be the heir? Who will be the heir? That was the discussion Abraham had. And somebody would have said Isaac. But beyond Isaac. Beyond Isaac. God saw beyond Isaac. God saw into the future. He saw something more than Isaac. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? Yes. Let's move on. Let's move on. Get the scripture for us. Let's move on. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of all the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. To give you the land to do what? Inherit it. Now that will show you why there is fight in Palestine, the Gaza Strip, all those areas, why there is serious fight. You will see how God told Abraham and his descendants that they would drive them out of their country. That then one day he will gather them. Anywhere they are, he will gather them. And I think it is 1948 or thereabout, the Jewish nation came together for the first time again after they scattered. Covenant keeping God. His signs are everywhere on the face of the earth. Yet men are confused. Everything written in scripture, you just see it playing out. Playing out. And he said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit the land? Look at it now. He said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them into two, down the middle, blood again. Are we here together? And placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds into two. And when the vulture came down on the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. God was about to enact a covenant. God was about to enter a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham had a question. And after he asked the question, God said, go get those animals. Now, what Abraham was doing here was not new. Culture or history has it that it was a normal thing for the people in those days to enter covenants like this by killing animals. So it was not a new thing to Abraham. Do you understand? But this is God entering that covenant with him. So God was using what Abraham was used to. So that you guys usually believe your covenant whenever you do it. He says, I will now do it so that you can believe it. But this time it's not a covenant between men. It's a covenant between the immortal and mortals. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abraham, now in that deep sleep, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Can you see it now? And I will serve them and will serve them. And they will afflict them how many years? 400 years. The experience they had in Egypt, is that not? Very good. And also the nations whom they serve, I will judge afterwards. They shall come out with great what? Possession. Can you see what happened during the time they were coming out of Egypt? Look at this, is in Genesis here. Look at where it is. And 400 years after, the covenant keeping God, the night they were going to leave Egypt, he told the children of Israel, go to your Egyptian neighbors and collect everything that they have. Tell them to give you their gold, their silver, their precious stones and everything. And the Bible says the children of Israel found favor before the Egyptians. They gave them everything they had. And to confirm the word of God, they came out with great possession. Covenant keeping God. When he says a thing, it doesn't fall to the ground. He says, so shall my word be that has gone out of my mouth. it will accomplish its purpose. Under this covenant, by the time we're done, when your eyes open to understand the potency of the blood of Jesus, every sickness, every affliction, every disease, every fear, everything that has held you before now, by the potency of the power of the covenant that Jesus established on the cross, somebody is coming out with total deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the first generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is yet not complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch, and passed between those pieces an oven that was smoking, consuming fire. Every time there is a sacrifice, there must be fire. Is that not? So God showed up as the fire. And the light being a torch, a witness. So he came that day, and Abraham saw this. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with what? Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the great river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So Israel is not in contention of land that they don't know. Four times in scripture, the Bible shows them the geography and the borders of their land. So when they stand and they are doing a thing now, somebody says, are we sure that is the Israel of that day? No, God is not a foolish God. You go and mark this place and mark where they live today, and you see no difference. No difference. No difference. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? You need to understand these things. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the Kenzites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Raphims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. All of them like that. God said, I have given them. You need to know the borders of your property. God gave Abraham a promised land forever. For how long? For how long? That's number one. God pledged to make Abraham a blessing. Did you see that in the covenant? He said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that do what? Curse you. In Genesis chapter 28 verse 18, he said, in your offsprings, all the nations of the earth shall be what? Blessed. And this is talking about in your offspring. Go there now. Look at it now. Genesis chapter 22 verse 18. It says, then Jacob rose in the early morning. Is that where I want to read? Genesis 22, not 28. Genesis 22. In your seed. Can you see that? If you check King James, I think he said offspring, not offsprings. Take note, it's not plural. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is the Abrahamic word covenant. And after the Abrahamic covenant, the seal of the confirmation of the covenant, again, blood. God said, Abraham, from today, every male in your house must be circumcised. I want to see the blood again. So that day, Abraham himself, at his age, got to cut the foreskin of his body, and all the servants in his house, they had to do that circumcision. Every time somebody feels that pain, they remember the gain of the inheritance. Every time any person begins to do that circumcision, they remember the promise that God has given to them. In other words, anytime God enacts a covenant, he leaves something that you should use to remember every time. He drops something that this is what you will always do to remember it. This is the sign that you always see and you remember it. Remember Noah, rainbow. Is that not? Remember now, we got to Abraham here. God also gave the sign, the circumcision. Are we here together? And he said, every time you do this, you remember the covenant that I have entered with you. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
God is not a man that he should lie. When he says a thing, he brings it to pass. Every time he does anything, the Bible says he abides forever. So today you see that the descendants of Abraham will have to go through that circumcision. So there is nothing you tell the Jewish guy. He will never, they are ready to die just because they know that there is a covenant. They hold their Torah. Forget it. When they are with their Torah, you cannot, anything inside the Torah, they agree with their life that this is the covenant God made with our fathers. Nobody can take it away from us. Covenant people. And it is the power of that covenant that stands for them. No matter what, come rain, come sun. Because God made the covenant. If you go read the book of Romans, he said, even though Israel has done some misbehaviors, he said, yet God is giving them opportunities again. Why? They were the ones that he used to establish something that will bring us in. Will he throw them away? He said, no. Covenant. 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 No, Mosaic covenant. Number three, Mosaic covenant. Now, this is found in the book of Exodus chapter 19 down to chapter 24. Now, the Mosaic covenant has details. God promised the children of Israel so many things. And this time around, they were in the wilderness. They had left the land of Egypt and they had entered the wilderness. And while they were going there, God entered a covenant with them. And he said, if you do this, I will bless you. If you do these things, curses will come upon you. He said, all these things are the conditions that you have. And that is the largest, that is the covenant that had the largest conditions, do's and don'ts, regulations. And that is what today we call the Old Testament. Are we here together now? That is what we really call the Old Testament. Over 600 and something ordinances with 10 commandments solidly saying God gave to them. And he said, if you do all these blessings will come upon you. They will overtake you. But if you go against it, and child of God, you see every time they went against it, their enemies will come against them. Every time they went against the covenant, it was always an issue. Every time they go against the covenant, it will always be a problem. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? The Mosaic covenant had details of laws, instructions, and rituals. The Ten Commandments was also issued. And the sign that God gave them, everything about the old covenant, the new covenant, is blood, 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 blood. Hope you know that. So blood was full on ground. They didn't lack blood. Anything anybody did wrong, blood. Anywhere you show up, blood. So God now said, in addition to that, I will do something that you should keep. I will do something that you should keep as a memorial. And the seal of that new covenant that God entered with them is the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day. God will always say, remember. Anytime he's done with it, he said, this thing, remember it. Don't leave this one. So the Jewish people will always observe the Sabbath, because in the covenant that God had with them, he told them that on the seventh day, guys, don't do anything that has to do with work. In fact, you don't even have the right to make bread. Make the bread you eat on Friday night, because Saturday will be Sabbath. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? And on the Sabbath, everybody needed to stay at home. They will go nowhere. Dedicate that day unto God and rest. So he told them, for all your generations, always remember the Sabbath. And that's why it was part of the law. The Jewish people will not joke with the Sabbath. When Jesus showed up, he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, he's saying that there is something about me that is the fulfillment of everything that has been said from the beginning. There is something about me. All they remember this, remember that, remember that. All of them will enter into me and I will be the fulfillment of the law. The last thing I tell you to remember will be the final instruction. Namana kabali abadish kapandelash. I'm going somewhere. Is somebody getting what I'm saying today? Are you making progress with me in the spirit tonight? Then we see the Davidic covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 8 to 16. 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 8 to 16. Now therefore thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Nor shall the sons of the wicked oppress them anymore as previously. Go ahead. We'll go to verse 16. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. The covenant has started. Listen. I will set up your seed after you. Where, who will come from your body and will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom for how long? Forever. Go ahead. We're going to verse 16. I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the bows of the son of man. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established for how long? Before you. Your throne shall be established for how long? Now, if God has said this to Abraham and he entered this covenant to Abraham, this is what they call the sure mercies of David. David, rather. He said it is called the sure mercies of David. In other words, God is saying, for David and his seed, my mercy will sit upon them forever. Forever. Kai, what is man that God is so mindful of him? Certain people walked on the face of the earth and God will come to them, gist with them and enter covenant with them. Sir, there are covenants that God entered in those days with certain people. But today, do you know that God is still entering covenants with people? God visits people at different times in their life. When he sees the track record of your work, when he sees your devotion, your loyalty, your commitment, he shows up from nowhere and he said, listen, woman, I speak as God. Sometimes there might be nothing else to show the token, but he shows up and he speaks to you and he said, as long as you live, this is what I will do in your family. That is God. The reason many people have never seen the covenant keeping God and never had encounter with him is because we have not had track records. When your track record is built, he will show up. God shows up, sir. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God shows up. God shows up. Bit by bit, he enters families and he says, because of this person, what this person has done in this family, today, that happens. Then one person does something and God says, because of that, I will raise everybody in this family. And nobody in this family will go below this in life. And you start seeing people prosper and excel and do well. You are wondering how. And it is a secret covenant that God has entered with someone on behalf of that family. Can I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice? That in our day and in our age, in this season, may God count us worthy to have a discussion with us that will affect our generation, generation after generation. And it will affect them positively. In the name of Jesus. So God entered that covenant with Abraham, with David rather. Are we done reading? Did we get to verse 16? Did we get there? Yes. And how did God keep the covenant that he entered with Abraham? With David rather. Luke chapter 1, 32 to 33. Luke chapter 1, 32 to 33. Please get this look. It says, he will be great and he will be called the son of the highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. If God had promised, he would never forget. God is able to do just what he says he will do. Hanemanakabayash. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Isaac came after God had that covenant with David rather. Solomon came, and somebody would have thought that it would be Solomon. Then Solomon lived a very wise king and he died. The sons of Solomon showed up, they lived, they did their own bit and they died. Then one day, the person, because he has said seed and not seeds. And if you read the Bible, it says seed. In the seed, he's speaking about Jesus. Jesus now shows up. Please go back to that scripture. Don't take it off. Just put it on the board there. Go back there. He will reign over the house of Jacob for how long? And of his kingdom, there will be no... Who has this title? Whose kingdom is without end? Jesus. Was it Solomon? Absalom? All the sons of David? Did anyone qualify to fit into that shoe? Jesus. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth.
Sing to the ancient of days. No man can compare to your matchless worth. Sing to the ancient of days. In heaven on earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you were exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. In order to incorporate all nations, the next covenant, which is the one we're talking about that Jesus came into, it is called the New Covenant. Write it down, the New Covenant. That's where we are this night. Before we pray and take the communion, somebody say the New Covenant. The New Covenant was instituted by Jesus Christ, the one who will be the everlasting King, of whose government and of the increase of his government there will be peace and there will be no end. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. The Bible says that his name will be called the Everlasting Father. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He will sit upon the throne of who? He will sit upon the throne. Look at it now. Read it. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. If God has said it, it will come to pass. If God has said it to be established, no devil can change him. No devil can change him. Is anybody getting what I'm sharing tonight? Now that brings us into the new covenant, the last one. The new covenant was ratified by Jesus. The blood was the token of the new covenant also. In Matthew chapter 26, you see from verse 26 to 29, see what Jesus said. Before we get there, let's go to Jeremiah. A prophecy came ahead. A prophecy came. Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 31 to 33. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 33. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make what kind of covenant? Do you know that this prophetic word, is this thing was being said long before. Long before. The time of Jeremiah to Matthew, you can check the gap, the distance. Several years had passed. Several years had passed. But God gave a word. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of who? Judah. In other words, there is an old covenant. He said, I will make a new covenant. There is an old one established already. Is that not true? He says, I will make a new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I did, that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husbandman to them, says the Lord. Verse 33 now says what? But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their word and write it on their, and I will be their, and they shall be my people. Now, this is Jeremiah speaking by prophecy into the future. He has cited something that God wanted to do. Then Jesus showed up all of a sudden in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 29. And look at what Jesus said. That new covenant, the same words. And remember, Jesus is a student of the word. He said, I come in the volume of the books. He had read the books. There's nothing in the book that he's ignorant of. That's why the day he opened one in the temple, he said, today it is fulfilled in your eyes. That's why when he showed them, he said, that thing that you have been reading, I am the one. I am has come. Are we here together? Please take us there. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my what? Body. Go ahead. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, the remission of what? Sins. But I say to you, I will no longer drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus had that thing with them, the Lord's Supper. He instituted it and he said, this blood is the new covenant. Today I am doing that new covenant. I will not, if I do it after Jesus died, listen, if Jesus had waited and said he will die first before the new covenant, they would not understand. So he wanted them to know that my death on the cross, as my blood is being spilled on the cross, remember that I already gave you my blood. This one you are drinking now is the sure sign and the token that is given for the remission of the sins of many. So that when it happens on the cross of Calvary, you will not wonder and say, what happened? No, you are already aware. I have told you that I am about to start a new covenant. The old covenant had rules and regulations that men could not keep. The old covenant, they had to make sacrifice and rituals with blood of goats and bulls and ram and bullocks every single day. But this is a new covenant. This is a new covenant. The Bible says the new covenant stands on better promises. In other words, the old covenant had promises, but the new covenant had better promises. So it doesn't matter where your life is right now. God is saying, I have better promises for you. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what you're been through. God is saying, I have better what? Promises for you. Is anybody getting what I'm sharing tonight? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4. It's an expose. I just want to show you things from scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4. Then we'll also read Hebrews chapter 8 verse 7. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats will take away sin. Go ahead. Therefore, when he came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. That means everything in the Old Testament, you didn't have pleasure in them. Go ahead now. He said, then I said, behold, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and burnt offering, an offering for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. Oh God, he takes away the first covenant that he might establish what? The second. Believer, you have no business with the old covenant. You have a new covenant, ratified by the blood of Jesus. A covenant with better promises. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying here? You must have this understanding. Many believers live today, they still don't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They still carry the Old Testament on their head as if it is what they must live by. No, those are Jewish laws. This is the new covenant, and covenant that has better promises, ratified by the blood of Jesus. So everything we do, our faith stands in the blood of Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my strength. Strength. My song, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest droughts and storm. Come on, Ekabashan de Lebraduska Baba 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 Bash. Lekos ke Regedila Baba 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 Bash. Belekos ke Para Baba 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 Bash. Nekos ke Ragata Labashakata da 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 da. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Listen, in the old covenant, the whole of the congregation of the children of Israel will stand like this. They will be at the outer court. They can't come in. Then the priest will stand different, wearing his priestly regalia, and they will tie a bell to the waist of the priest. All of them will be waiting in fear. They will be scared because they are not sure that their sins will be forgiven. They are not sure that the sacrifice will be accepted. Because even the man entering the place himself is not even sure whether he will come out alive. So they take rope and they tie to his waist and they drag him. The same way they tie the rope to the neck of a goat, the high priest is like going also, scared, afraid. He's not sure. He's not sure of what will happen. And that was an old covenant. It was a covenant that the people had. And the Bible says that it's a covenant that was okay for them at that time. But he said there is a covenant with better promises. There is a covenant that will not bring us to that level of degradation anymore. There's a covenant that will bring us to a place where we don't need to see physical blood anymore. But when we see the spiritual blood, we know that he has passed over us. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Every time the high priest stays like that, he's waiting. And when he starts going in fear. Imagine a man going to make sacrifice for others. He's not even secured. He's not even sure. He can't even tell what will become of him. So the high priest will move gradually like that. And when he enters into the Holy of Holies, he will carry the blood that he had brought from the scapegoat and the lamb for the sacrifice. And when he does the sacrifice, peradventure, he comes out alive. Everybody would do like this. once in a year, everybody will be waiting for the day of atonement. So that if the sacrifice of the high priest is accepted, they are safe. But imagine it's not accepted that year. Everybody starts crying. Everybody starts wailing. They will use rope and drag the man out and get another person. Come and try your luck. And as that one is going, he's scared too, because he's not sure of what will happen to him. These are the kind of men that were used in those dispensations to even help people get out of their sin. But the Bible says that we have a high priest. Jesus Christ, being a high priest of better promises, when he was going to enter the Holy of Holies, he was not scared. He was not afraid, because he knew that it was the perfect sacrifice. The Bible says he had no sin. He was without sin. Who knew no sin? But he became sin because of us, so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So entering the Holy of Holies, Jesus did not enter the Holy of Holies made by hands. He did not enter the Holy of Holies that was made by any human being. The Bible says that he entered the Holy of Holies right there in heaven. Mary wanted to touch him and he said, hold on. There is something I need to do in the Holy of Holies. He wasn't afraid. He said, hold on, I will come back. When I am done, I will show up. The high priest, when he enters, he will say, peradventure I don't come. I'm not sure whether I will come back. But whatever happens, let it be. But when Jesus was going, he said, Mary, just wait. I will come and console you. Peace be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When he came back, he announced to them, can I prophesy to somebody, everything that threatens your life, they are drowned by the blood. They are swallowed by the blood. I said they are swallowed by the blood. Let your amen sound one like thunder. The high priest of better promise entered the Holy of Holies. And when he entered the Holy of Holies, right at the mercy seat, Jesus poured the blood. The blood was accepted. The reason is because that is the only blood that was sinless. He did not go to die for our sins because he was a sinner. No, Jesus was not a sinner. He died in the place of sinners. He did not commit sin. He was made sin. Do you understand these things? Not for once. The Bible says he was tempted at all costs, yet without sin. Therefore, it behoves that this kind of person qualifies to be our high priest. This kind of person qualifies to pay the price. Before he died, he sat with his disciples and he said, take blood. They drank. He said, take flesh, eat. They ate. Then to keep the thing in remembrance, one apostle that did not have encounter with him in that meeting, Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians, are we here together, church? I'm showing you something. Are you catching what I'm showing tonight? In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, Paul speaking, he said, I have received of the Lord that which I give unto you. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Can you go down? 1 Corinthians 11:25. Please put it on screen for me now. Mandele barababashka. 1 Corinthians, he said, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. These two, as often as you drink it, in remembrance, when you see the rainbow, you remember what? The sacrifice, Noahic sacrifice. Is that not? When you hear about the Sabbath, you remember what sacrifice? Mosaic covenant. Is that not? When you feel the pain of the circumcision, you remember what? Abrahamic covenant. Davidic covenant, whenever you hear the sound of praise, that is the clue to Davidic covenant. He said, but the covenant ratified by Jesus. He said, guys, every time you sit together as a community of blood, that's why it is not right for any believer in church to miss a communion service. It's not a good thing. If you miss it once, don't miss it again. If you stay away from the communion table for a long time, something is wrong. He said, because every time you do this, as often as you do it, you are showing the Lord's death. I went to check the meaning of the word to show the Lord's death. And the word there is kata angelo. It means to proclaim, to speak, to preach, to teach, to announce, to make known to everybody around that we are going for this meeting because our Lord has died for us. He was buried for our sake. He has been raised to life again. We are now raised together with him to live in newness of life. We are no longer old. We now have a new life. When they say, where are you coming back from? He said, I'm coming back from the place where I went to remember what my Lord did for me. I'm coming back from the place where the sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary becomes clay again. I went before the communion table. I saw his blood. I took of his flesh. And now I am revitalized in my body. I am partaking of everything that he partook of. So that his life has now become my life. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? So that when you come before the communion table, it's not just walking around to eat bread. It's not something you come before and you are chewing gum and just going around and just speaking. Never! You must discern the Lord's body. He died for you. He was battered. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. By his stripes, you were healed.
You must remember the death of Jesus on the cross. You know how he fell down while Jesus was running so hard. The cross was heavy on him. He fell with his face to the ground and the cross hit him like this and he was down there. Stand up! He could not stand. All because of you. He could not stand. Jesus did not have what it took to stand. He had lost strength, lost life, lost everything. There was nothing in him at that moment. Why? Because he was doing something for you. All the way to Calvary, he wept for me. He wept for me. Jesus wept for me. All the way to Calvary, he wept for me. He died to set me free. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my body and soul found liberty. At Calvary. Right there, Jesus. He went every step of the way and they were insulting him. Some people spat on his face. Some people slapped him and said, stupid man. They were doing all those things to Jesus. And he had you in mind. He didn't want heaven without us. Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. Your love was greater. So what can separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus.
What a beautiful name.
As he was going, carrying the cross for your sake, the Bible says before that time he was carrying the cross, they already lashed him 39 strokes. Sir, it was not ordinary cane they used on Jesus. The Roman soldiers used serious scourge. They called that thing scourge. When they scourged Jesus, his flesh pulled out of his body. That's why the Bible says that he was wounded for your transgression. He was a serious scar. He was not just a scar. He was not just a small scar. He was a deep cut. And he had a deep cut so that your life will be redeemed. And he said, do it in remembrance of me. He wanted them to know. He wanted them to see. And every time we trivialize the death of Jesus, every time we trivialize the sacrifice of Jesus, looking as if we do not know what he has done, Jesus begins to wonder in his heart, why do men forget so easily? How is it that men do not even remember? Can you remember when I went all the way? Can you remember when I was slapped and I was pushed? Can you remember how the Roman soldiers slapped me and they were just mocking me? At a point, some of them slapped Jesus from behind. They slapped his eye and he fell back like this again. If you have not, see, whoever told you that those things you watch, they were just up to what happened. No, you don't know. More than that they did to him. And a whole male figure, 33-year-old man, they pulled his panties and he was almost naked. In fact, history has it that he was actually literally naked. For the sake of viewers' discretion, that's why those movies cover the body of Jesus. So that they will not say, what kind of, this is pornography. That's why they cover him. Literally, he was naked. Naked for your sake. Naked so that you'll be clothed with righteousness. Child of God, listen to me. We should not trivialize the death of Jesus. That's the more reason why you must take your Christianity serious. If Jesus sacrificed so much for you, what are you sacrificing today? If I give you a pen and a paper to write five things you are sacrificing for the cause, what your Christianity is costing you, what would you write? What would you write? What would you write? What would you write? There's no shadow you will light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you would kick down, lie you wouldn't tear down, coming after me. Shadow you will light up.
Shadow you will light up.
Shaka paya Leko sebe de 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 sh. Rakabaraba da la barrega de lebosh. Shamana gabaya ba 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 ba. I remember what Jesus has done. Shadow you will light up.
Shadow you will light up. Mountains you won't climb up. Coming.
Listen, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what kept Jesus on the cross was not the nails, it was love. The nail could not have kept the Son of Man on the cross. It was the love that made him stay there. Is it Jesus that could appear and disappear? Is it Jesus that could speak to the nails and they would pull out of his hand and he would walk away from there? But he said, no, I will finish this assignment. I will complete it so that you will not face eternal damnation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is eternal life, that they might know him. This is eternal life, that they might know him. And this same man saying to you today, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How we stray, how we wander, how we walk away without remembering. Jesus says, stay away from this for my sake. You say, God, it's not easy. Was it easy for me when I was dying for you? Was it easy for me when they were beating me? Was it easy for me when I was hanging on the cross like that? And he started, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My Father, why have thou forsaken me? And the Father said, Jesus, I'm considering the people that we agreed that they matter most. Mercy says, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you sleep away. You don't have to be afraid. God, no, no.
Mercy says no.
Say I'm not gonna take control.
Life or death, come face to face. Darkness tries to steal my breath away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy says no.
Peter was standing face to face and they were saying, Peter, do you know this man? He said, no, I don't. And Peter denied Jesus right before his eyes. Jesus looked at Peter. But when Jesus came back, he went back to look for Peter. The man who was betrayed, yet he went back for the one that betrayed him. He went back for the one that betrayed him. And he came and he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? That is a question for somebody in this service. Do you love me more than the things that you are indulging in? Do you love me more than the way you're just living the way you like? Have you considered the sacrifice I made on the cross of Calvary? Have you considered what it cost me? The Bible says that one day, as they were about to kill Jesus the other time, this Peter the other time, they wanted to kill Peter. Peter remembered how he ran away the first time. Historians wrote it that Peter was about to run again when he remembered the cross. Remember the cross. Every time Satan is about to push you there, remember the cross. Every time Satan is about to drag you into a mess, remember the cross. As soon as Peter remembered the cross, he ran back to those that were going to kill him. And he said, you don't have to run after me. I am here. I am here. And he said, kill me. Turn me upside down. Let the blood flow through my vein. Let me die. Anyhow, as painful as more than the death of my master Jesus, I want to sacrifice. And Peter died as a martyr. Jesus didn't die as a martyr. Jesus died as a savior. A savior, one who gave his life for others. Martyrs, those who die for what they believe. And he said, for you and I, can you die for what you believe? Your death today will not save anybody. But your death is conviction. Your death is an assurance. And death is asking you, die to self. Die to self. Die to flesh. Die to many things. And yet we are quarreling and arguing and saying no man of faith. And every time you say, Jesus, I love you, he's saying, where is your love in my heart? Where is my love in your heart? Where is it? Let me see. Show me one token of your love. What are you sacrificing for me? What price are you paying for the kingdom? What commitment are you making? Where people stroll out and they do not even take a second thought. The Bible says it is unrighteousness with God to forgive. Forget. Forget easily. Forget easily. Today you are going to come before the blood of this same man. Today you are going to take his blood and you will drink it. And as the blood drops into your mouth, will you remember what he has done for you? As the blood drops into your mouth, will you remember that that is the cleansing and the forgiveness of your sins? As the blood drops into your mouth, will you remember that regardless of however you come, he's saying, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.
as the blood drops in your mouth, will you remember that Jesus is not condemning you, but he's calling you and he's saying, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. He's not saying run away, he's saying come. Jesus, I'm soaked in the pool of my addictions, he's saying come. Jesus, I messed up yesterday, I'm such a bad guy, he's saying come. Jesus, I don't think I'm worthy of all this, he said, but that's why I died. Jesus, I don't think I qualify, I'm not the kind of, but I know those who serve you seriously, but not me. And he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Somebody's about to receive rest tonight. God is reminding you of that sacrifice. He's reminding you today of what he did. And everything that the blood of Jesus qualifies to handle is taken away from somebody's life. After this blood covenant, we are re-establishing, reaffirming and re-establishing our faith in Jesus. After you take this communion today, God will open your eyes to deeper things that he has for you. You will begin to see yourself in the light that you have never seen yourself before. You will begin to see yourself in the light of the righteousness that God has made you. The grip of sin will lose its strength over you. Sicknesses and disease will lose their grip over your life. Fear will lose its grip over your life, because the blood of Jesus satisfies the condition. Rise up on your feet. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as no other fountain. No I want you to talk to God personally where you are right now and say, Jesus, I come before the blood. I come before the blood today, Jesus, before the blood, the precious blood, the cleansing blood, the purifying blood, the strengthening blood, the blood that has the power to purge you of your sins, the blood that has the power to strengthen you, the blood that has the power to break the chains of addictions, the blood that has the power to break the chains of fear. Fear of the future. Fear that if you get serious with God, you will not stand strong. And the devil has held many people bound. That I know you can't serve God for more than 1 month. Try it and let's see. And because you fail at other times, child of God, this is a different one. The potency of the blood is what we're talking about. The power of the blood that never lets go is what we're talking about. Listen. As you come before the blood today, I want you to come with a renewed mindset that I am coming right before the blood of Jesus who died, shed his blood and sacrificed everything for me. Come with the mindset that you know that he loves you so much and that's why he's calling you to come. Come with an understanding that you know that you owe him the whole of your life. And that's why whatever he places a demand on in your life, you cannot say no to. Whatever you want, Jesus. Whatever you want, Jesus. Based on your terms, my life based on your terms, not my terms. Come with that understanding and say, I'm ready. I am ready. Don't leave this service and forget. It is wickedness to forget. Don't leave this service and forget what he has done. He had to institute this and say, we should do it often. As we do it, remind the church of this, so that everyone who understands this can enjoy the benefit of the full package of the blood to heal, to save, to deliver. Come with that mindset. Do not let the devil trap you in a cage of condemnation and say you are not fit, you are not the type. Why did Jesus come? He came for you.
And those of us who feel like, oh, I'm so perfect already. Don't sound like that. I agree. But whatever it is you are putting on is the righteousness of Jesus. You should come with a heart of gratitude and brokenness that what you could never do for yourself, he did it for you. What you would never have been able to get by yourself, he has given it to you. So today you stand in righteousness, not by your power, not by works of righteousness that any man should boast. He said, but it is the gift of God. Can you lift up your voice and sincerely, from the bottom of your heart, discuss with God on your own time, discuss with him and say, Father, today I come before this communion table. If there are many things that have been pulling you away from him, say, no, I will not take anything. I will not allow anything to pull me away from this fellowship. This is the fellowship of the blood. This is the fellowship of the blood. Lemane kabayan de lebarushka. Rabai de leboskopa raban de lebashta. Jamana kabazu zebrege de leboshka paya. Zemana kabarushko brege de lebaya. While that prayer is going on, if there is anyone under the sound of my voice, you say, Pastor Mavis, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior first. Come out here. I'm going to pray with you right now. You will go back before the communion starts. Pastor Mavis, today I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I have wandered away. I have strode out of divine plan and agenda. I have gone my way. I want you to pray for me today, Pastor, so that I can start my relationship with Jesus. Or I have seriously broken fellowship, and I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Everywhere you are, if there's anybody, people like that, come out to the altar. I'm going to pray with you this night. By the blood, you crush principalities. Kaya banamanasha. Jesus. Lemane kaba yagabarabadash. Jesus.
By your name.
By your name. Come out to the front. I'm going to pray with you. Be bold. If you are ashamed of me, he said, I'll be ashamed of you. If you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. That's what Jesus said. If you deny me, he said, that is you. I cannot deny myself. Jesus. You establish authority. Shamana gaba ya gaba lebe lebe. Shaga gaga 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 gaga. Shamana gaba reka lebe raba baba baba. Jesus, I come to you today. Purge me, cleanse me, sanctify me, strengthen me. Tell me, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me, Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus, for not taking you seriously, Jesus. Have mercy on me. I receive forgiveness of sin made available by your blood. Lord Jesus, I ask today that you will strengthen me so that I will walk with you all the way. Lord Jesus, empower me. Help me. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I declare now I am born again. I am saved. I am sanctified. I will walk with you, Jesus. I will follow you all the way. I will not allow distractions anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you go back to your seat, you're going to take the communion. As you're taking the communion, you're taking it with the consciousness that this is a cleanser. This is a purifier. And I am reminded of the one who died on the cross of Calvary for me. Let this be a reminder to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can go back to your seats. You can go back to your seats. A piece of paper will be given to you after the service. You submit it. Wherever you are, church, listen. Everyone standing here before the communion table, what sacrifice, what's your Christianity costing you? It cost God his son. What's it costing you? Make up your mind that in 2024, I will not lazy around about this kingdom mandate. Listen to me. People sacrificed a lot for this Christianity that you are taking. I don't know the way you are probably taking it. The Bible says they carried some of the Matthias. Look at what they did. They tied one of them to a horse like this with the leg, and the horse running with high speed. And that's how his skull fell off his body, his bone and everything. Please, these things, they are not myths. They are not legends of something that they know. They are real life stories. They carried James, John the Beloved, put him inside oil to burn a human being, to roast, just as if you are putting fish. The way you would drop fish inside oil, they dropped a man. Some of them escaped the sword and the lion's den, but some of them did not. And they did it for the sake of the one that they knew died for them. And that's the Christianity we talk about. Somebody say, it's not easy. I don't know. What are you saying, brothers? Can we please go back and read these things in scripture? What is it on the face of planet Earth? What is it that is so serious that you will not say, Jesus, whenever I remember what you have done, I will go all the way. I will go the extra mile. I will deny myself. I will make the sacrifice. Let's get committed and serve God. I'm too busy. I don't have time. Why? Why? And Jesus spent 33 and a half years. He did not have enough time to live as much as he would have loved to. He died for your sake. And he gave you time to live so that you will serve him. And now he said, I don't have time. I'm very busy. Why? Why? Why would we sound like that? Why would we sound like that, church? I came today with a sound word from God. My heart is indicting a good matter for you, so that you will go back today and think about it. If he has done this kind of sacrifice, then what have I done? A songwriter wrote a song and said, I gave my life for you. My precious blood I shed. He said, I did it so that you'll be ransom free. He said, what have you done for me? My rainbow circle throne, my everything I had in heaven, I left it. I came down here just for your sake. And he asked in the song, right? He said, what have you done for me? And Jesus Christ said it. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What can you not live for Jesus? What is so serious? What is so heavy? What are you deriving so much pleasure in that you cannot say, for this thing, I will live for the sake of my master? I want to charge you today as you take this communion. Take it with strength in your heart and say, Jesus, I'm ready to go the extra mile. I'm ready to make sacrifices. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to commit. I want you to say it first. Go ahead and pray and talk to him. I'm ready to leave the weight and the sin that does easily beset me. I'm ready to run with endurance the race that is set before me. I am ready, Jesus. I am ready. That's why I'm taking this communion. I'm taking it with the consciousness of my commitment and my devotion. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you. I live for you. Paul speaking, he said, I have received of the Lord that which I give unto you. That the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had finished supper, they eaten everything they had to eat. He broke it. And he said, this is my body that is broken for you. He told them that every time they eat the body, they should eat in remembrance. Don't eat like a person who is forgetting. Eat in remembrance that this is my body broken for you. Do it as often as you are doing it in remembrance of me. Remember me. In the same manner, he took the wine. And after he had opened it, he supped. After he had taken, rather, he supped. And he gave to them and he said, drink, all of you. He said, and this is the new covenant in my blood. The old one is gone. This is a new one. Based on better promises. He said, but please, every time you do it, remember. Remember the pain. Remember the shame. Remember the sufferings. Remember the humiliation that I went through for your sake. And whenever you are tempted to turn away from the cause, just remember. Stand. Because he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Father, I present this communion before you, that sicknesses and diseases will be wiped off as people take it. Guilt, sin consciousness will be wiped off as people take it. Their confidence in what you have done on the cross will be reestablished in their hearts. Light will break forth upon our hearts, and we'll see the sacrifice on the cross and embrace all that you have done. As we take this, O Lord, let it consistently remind us that we are not called to go back. We are not called to draw back. Let it remind us that we can sacrifice anything for you. Let it remind us that we are called to serve you all the days of our life, even in the body of Christ, commitment to your cause. Strengthen us by this communion. Help us, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give thanks to you, Lord, as we take it. Thank you for all you have done for us. We receive this communion with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, give directions so that people can take the communion. Whatever the blood of Jesus can do is what is happening in your life now. The blood of Jesus heals sicknesses and diseases. The blood of Jesus transforms lives. The blood of Jesus empowers. I take this with consciousness. I will serve you, Jesus. I will follow you, Jesus. I will devote my time, my energy, my body, myself, all the days of my life, Jesus. I will not allow anything to distract me from the truth. Make sure you sing that song with a consciousness. Shemana gaba yaga baraba de lebaraya. Chains of addiction, chains of weaknesses, chains of condemnation, chains of fear, chains of doubt, chains of sickness. In the name of Jesus, chains of sin, break! Have him boldly and with confidence this year. You'll be better with him this year.
So break every chain. 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 Every chain of sickness. Every chain of addiction. Every chain of poverty. Oh God, we break every chain. So break every chain. So break every chain. Break every chain.
I begin to give God thanks for the blood tonight. Begin to give Him thanks. Begin to give Him thanks tonight. Begin to bless His name tonight. Give Him thanks for what the blood is doing in your life, what the blood has done. Oh, my love, shaka pa rebega de lebashka pa ida labaya. Rama nega de lebosko brada laba rushka pa ba lebeliska baya. Leko swabe rega di laboshka pa idash. Oh, thank you for the sacrifice, Jesus. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We will not forget this. Every time we are tempted to turn, every time we are tempted to slip off the track, every time the temptation comes heavy, we will remember your sacrifice. And be strengthened to walk with you, Jesus. Thank you for sicknesses and diseases that you have taken away. Thank you for diseases and afflictions that are gone for life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Guilt and condemnation fading away. Standing fast in the liberty where which Christ has made us free. And not entangled by the yoke of bondage again. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.